you'll take your Bibles and turn to Matthew 13. So, we are going to read verses 3 through 8, and then verses 18 through 23. As we begin to read, you'll see what 3 through 8 and 18 through 23 have in common. Okay? Matthew chapter 13, verses 3 through 8 and 18 to 23. Jesus speaking says, "And he spake many things unto them," that is, his disciples primarily, "in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he had sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them, but other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some sixtyfold, and some thirtyfold." Look, if you would, over at verse 18, and we'll see Christ's explanation to his disciples of the parable that he spoke. He said, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When any one heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth, because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed into good ground is he that heareth the word, and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some a hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. Let's pray again. Lord, we thank you for your word. We pray, Lord, that you would use it, Lord, to give us understanding today into the importance of good works and fruit in the lives of your children. Lord, help us to see and to understand all that you've done for us and all that you have provided to us by your death and resurrection, that we would have such an opportunity, Lord, not only to look forward to the home that is prepared for us in heaven, but to serve and live to the glory of the one who gave his life for us here. Lord, thank you for your grace, your mercy, and your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today we're going to look at the latter half of Ephesians chapter 2, 8 through 10. We looked, focused on verses 8 and 9 last Sunday morning. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We're not saved by the works of the law. We're not saved by the works of the flesh. We're not saved by the works of the church. We're saved by the work of Jesus Christ. We're saved by his grace. We're saved by his mercy. We are saved through faith in his sacrifice and his resurrection from the grave, and not by works. It is all of Christ. We can take no glory and we can take no credit for that which God, by his grace, has done in our lives. However, when we get to verse 10, a verse that's often left out, when we're quoting from this passage, we do see that good works has a very important place in the lives of God's children. For reading this again, it says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained or chosen that we should walk in them. God saved you if you know Him as Lord and Savior, if you have received Christ by faith. God has saved your soul. God has forgiven your sins. God has given you a home in heaven. He has given you the gift of everlasting life. But you aren't in heaven yet. You're still here. God has something for you here. God desires to be glorified in your life through good works that He hath before ordained, that we as His children should walk or live by them. God has foreordained that His children should live a life of good works to His praise and glory, who has called us out of the darkness and slavery of sin into the light of His glorious gospel, and has made of us a peculiar people, sanctified for His purpose and His glory. Therefore, Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your what?
Good works
and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. God desires to be glorified in you. He is glorified in your life primarily as others see the good works that He is producing in your life by His grace. Back to Ephesians 2:10, it says, for we are His what?
Workmanship
created in Christ Jesus. You see, we are His masterpiece. We are His project. We are of His making, His workmanship, by His power, by His grace, by His will, created in Christ Jesus. Created as in Genesis 1 in Adam. Created also as children of God, born again through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. For in Adam all die, but in Christ shall all be what? Made alive. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God is working in us, creating in us a new person in the image of Jesus Christ, in the character and nature of Jesus Christ, His Son. He is our maker. He is the potter, we are the what? We are the clay. And He created us to glorify Him. He created us unto what? Good works. He saved us that we might produce good works. That is to His glory. And that is why He created us, and that's why He saved us. Not too long ago, a private company built a rocket. That rocket contained a satellite for a company that it was going to take up into orbit. It was going to be launched from Cape Kennedy on the other side of the state. And the countdown commenced, and the engines fired, and the rocket exploded. It didn't go up into space. It failed. It did not accomplish that for which it was what? Made and created. It was a failure. It did not succeed in what it was created to do. It was a great disappointment to those who had made it, to those who had funded it, to those who had put their time and their money and their energy into it, because it did not fulfill that which it was created to do. Are you God's child, saved by His grace through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ?
Amen.
If you are, then your life will produce what? Fruit. Will produce good works to the praise of your Creator and Savior. If there is no fruit, if there is no good works, then you do not belong to who? Then you do not belong to Him. These are the evidences. These are the outgrowth. These are the fruit. That's what fruit means. Of our relationship with God through faith in His Son. And of what God is doing in our life. You see, unlike SpaceX that produced that rocket that exploded and failed, God doesn't make mistakes. And Jesus never fails. And that which He has begun in you, He will complete until the day that you stand before Him in heaven, when we will be like Him. Romans 8, 9. God says, having problems with my mic today for some reason, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Now He's speaking to Christians, believers. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. So if you're saved, you have the what? You have the Holy Spirit. If you do not have the Holy Spirit, then you are not what? You're not saved. He is the earnest of our inheritance. And when we are saved, He comes to live inside of our heart. And it is the Holy Spirit that produces fruit and good works to the glory of God in the life of every child of God. Some of which are listed in Galatians 5 as the fruit of the what? The fruit of the Spirit. One cannot simply will themselves in the flesh to produce God-honoring eternal fruit. It is not in us. It is in Him. They may for a time seem to produce fruit, but apart from Christ, our righteousness are as what? Filthy rags. And the fruit that we produce apart from Christ will in time grow rancid. For without faith, it is impossible to please Him. We may please others. We may look good to others. Jesus said to the Pharisees, you're like whited sepulchres. You're beautiful on the outside, but inside you're full of what? Dead man's bones. Decay. And corruption. It's not a pretty sight. And that's who we are. We were before we met Christ. To some people, we may have looked pretty good on the outside. But God sees the what? God sees the heart. And the only one who can clean up the heart is Jesus Christ. And the only way He can do that is if we will trust in Him, if we will put our faith in Him and receive Him as Lord and Savior of our life. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. But if we do possess His Spirit will produce fruit in our lives. Back to Matthew chapter 13, the parable of the sower in Matthew 13. We read that. Let's look in verse 18 again. He said, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower, verse 19. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, that is, the word of God, the gospel, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. So, the soils here reflect the condition of the heart on which the gospel, the word of God, falls. Some souls... Some hearts are hard and cold and flatly reject the Word of God. And so the devil quickly comes in and steals it away so that they think about it no more. And therefore, do not produce any fruit unto eternal life. Some falls upon a stony ground or a shallow heart. Look, if you would, in verse 20. But he that received the seed into stony places, this stony places means a place that has like gravel, okay? And so there's a little bit of dirt there, But there's not much, okay? And so it says here, he that receives it among a stony ground, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy, or right away, receives it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but endureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. Some of the seed falls upon shallow hearts, where there is only a fleeting emotional response. It's easy to get that out of people a lot of times. You can crank up the organ and you can crank up the music and you can crank up the tears and you can tell people and push them and prod them and get them to do a lot of things. But if it's not in their what? If it's not in their heart, it doesn't what? It doesn't last. How many times have you talked to somebody? Have you knocked on a door and talked to someone? And they said, oh yeah, I did that when I was, 8 years old. I responded to an invitation. Do you go to church? Nah. Are you interested in God? Nah. Not really. Been there, tried that, didn't work. Well, what's sad is it didn't work because they didn't what? They didn't really understand. And it was an emotional response without root in Jesus Christ. And so therefore, the seed that fell on shallow ground doesn't produce fruit either. I mentioned a friend last Sunday that I grew up in elementary school that I kept in touch with for a while. She went to church. She went to Christian school. She would say undoubtedly she was a Christian, and now she teaches yoga and Hinduism or Buddhism. She doesn't believe she's a Christian anymore. What happened? Well, it seemed that it didn't take what? It didn't take root in her life, it would seem. And sad to say, that's the case with a lot of people. The third one falls on thorny ground. Thorny ground. It says here in verse 22, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful as well. You see, some falls upon a worldly heart. Enrich the rewards of heaven are soon abandoned for the treasures of earth, producing no lasting fruit as well. Jesus said you cannot serve what? Two masters. You cannot serve God and mammon or the things of the world. In Mark 8:36 it says, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? There was a man that came to Jesus. He had a lot of wealth. But he knew there was something he was missing. God was prodding his heart. He knew there was something he was missing. So he came to Jesus. And he called him Master, good Master. And he indicated to Christ he was missing something. He didn't know if he was going to make it into the kingdom. And Jesus said, well, have you kept all the commandments? He said, oh yeah, kept all the commandments. Right away, that's an indication right there he's in trouble. Because none of us have kept all the commandments. Jesus listed a few. He said, oh yeah, I've kept those since I was little. And Jesus said, okay, well, there's just one thing you lack. Go give away all that you have and come follow me. Now some people might say, hey, well, Jesus told him, you have to do good works. You have to go give all your stuff away and help the poor, and then you'll be acceptable to God. No, that's not what Jesus is teaching. What Jesus is teaching this young man is this. You say that you've kept the commandments. But you see, you haven't even kept the first one. Thou shalt have no other what? gods before me. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And this man's young man went away, the Bible says, sorrowful, because he had great possessions. And he wasn't willing to part with his faith and trust in the things of earth to trust in Jesus for the things of heaven. So he walked away. It was choked out by the cares and the pleasures of life, which were more important to him. I had a young fellow that had Bible study with for 2 or 3 years in Georgia. Is actually an older brother of a guy that was in my youth group. And he brought a friend with him one time, a guy that he worked with. And this guy seemed at first to be interested in the gospel. He clearly wasn't saved. And so he asked me, he said, So is this the way it works? He said, I can just pray a prayer and be saved, and I can go and party and live it up, and I'm going to heaven, right? I said, no, that's not exactly right. You see, you have to repent. You see, you have to choose Christ and heaven over earth and hell. And that was the end of our conversation. You see, he didn't want to give up, had no interest in giving up the things of the world for the things of heaven. And sad to say, that also happens to a lot of people. They may come to a church service. They may talk with you for a while. But eventually, it fades away and off they go. And it happens to those who have a worldly heart. The final one here is the good ground. If you look in verse 23, but he that received the seed into good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. I like to think of the good ground as the repentant heart. The repentant heart, that which my friend's friend lacked. For some of it fell on a repentant heart, and by faith was received and embraced, which did produce fruit to the glory of God. Good works, godly attitudes, and more seed, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. Notice that not all the good soil produced the same amount of fruit. Some produced little. Some produced much, but all produced what? Some, to the glory of God. True lasting faith always produces visible fruit, good works and attitudes in the life of the born-again believer. It is the result of salvation. It is the evidence of salvation. It's not the cause of salvation. You see, good works is important in the Christian life. It has its place, but it is not the cause. You don't get saved by doing good works. You get saved and then you what? You do good works. You produce fruit by the power of the Spirit. Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. This kind of goes along with that young man that came with my Bible study partner. And if you'll look in verse 1, we're going to read verses 1 through 7 of Romans 6 and then verses 11 through 14. Okay? Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. Romans 6, 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that it's so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Look, if you would, down to verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. In Romans 6, Paul answers the critics who say, well, then if we're saved by grace, or if you're saved by grace, regardless of your works, then your actions do not matter, and we can sin all we want. That was what his critics said. Have you ever heard that? I've heard that. I've had several people ask me, well, if you believe that you're saved by grace through faith and not works, and if you believe that you're kept by the power of God through grace and mercy and not by your works, then it doesn't matter what you do. But you see, it does. And see, Paul answers that critic here. Paul declares to them, you're missing the point altogether of grace. Of grace. It is by the grace of God that we have been what? Freed. Freed from the slavery and the penalty of sin. It is by His grace we have been freed from having to serve sin for eternity. God saved you so that you might choose and have the ability to choose daily to yield yourselves as tools for His purpose and glory and not to the flesh and sin. God saved you by His grace, has given you His Spirit so that we might be able to serve Him and not serve sin. That's grace. Luke 9:23. And He said unto them all, if any man will come after Me, let him deny himself. Does deny the lusts of the what? The flesh. Deny himself and take up his cross daily. Follow Me. Because of Christ Jesus, because of God's grace and mercy, because of His Spirit that lives within us, we have the power every day to get up and follow who? And follow Christ. And follow Christ. Daily. Any so-called Christian who sees grace as license to sin is either terribly confused, immature, or not saved at all. Sad to say, this does seem to be the case with many in Christendom today who see grace as license when the Bible clearly teaches otherwise. We are not, Paul says, I'm not under the law of Moses, but by grace, the law of who? The law of Christ who lives inside my heart. God doesn't expect less of us today than He did of Old Testament saints. No, He expects what? He expects more. Because the Holy Spirit lives in here. If they knew the Lord, or knew Him better, His purpose in saving the lost by His grace, then they wouldn't think that way. Please do not yield yourselves, or please do. Please yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members, your body, as instruments of righteousness unto God. His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Turn, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. We are studying this in more detail in our men's Bible study, and we'll be continuing that on Friday night. I'm going to read a few verses out of Hebrews 11. It's called sometimes called the Heroes of Faith, as there are many Old Testament saints here mentioned, and it is they were, as it says here, received a good report with God because of their faith. Look, if you would, as we read these, and then I'll ask you in a moment what we see. Okay? Verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. Look, if you would, down in verse 7. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Look, if you would, down in verse 8. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. Look in verse 17. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Look, if you would, in verse 24 and 25. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And then look at verse 31. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. She hid them. Notice, the declaration of their faith in each case is followed by a corresponding what? Work or action. By faith, Abel sacrificed. By faith, Noah built an ark. By faith, Abraham left the Ur of the Chaldees. By faith, he sacrificed his son Isaac upon the altar. By faith, Moses left the palace to join his people and later led them out of Egypt by God's power. By faith, Rahab hid the spies in Jericho, and her family was saved from the destruction thereof. True faith, saving faith, and growing faith always produces actions, visible fruit. Now, let me take a moment here to give a quick warning. The first and primary person we should be judging in respect to fruit is who? Ourselves, and not others. As we sit here in a service like this, it's easy for us to think about the person in front of us or behind us or the person we work with or the person we live with or other people in our lives. But the first person we need to think about is us, and not others. So often we fall prey to the, let me get the speck out of your eye while there's a log in our own that Jesus talked about in Matthew 7. Secondly, we often only see snapshots of other people's lives. We must be careful not to be hasty in our judgments of others based upon our very what? Limited information. Praise the Lord, He is not so hampered. He knows. He sees the good and the bad. He sees our heart. He sees it all. There is nowhere we can flee from His presence. There is nowhere we can escape His sight. When He makes judgments, they are just and right. He sees it all. We don't. So be careful how quick you are to judge other people for the snapshots you see, because we don't see it all. Don't judge the book by its what? Cover. But on the other hand, be careful what you splash all over the cover of your life. It does send a message to others as to what is where inside. This is a little rabbit trail, but I hear that phrase all the time, don't judge a book by its cover. But you know, people put things on the cover of their book on purpose. And we do things before others in our life to send messages as well. So be careful what you put on the cover of your life. And while we should be cautious in judging others, we also must be discerning in respect of whom we worship with, fellowship with, enter into partnerships with, and particularly follow. Matthew 7:20, Jesus said to those who were listening, mainly His disciples, He said to them, by their fruits you shall what? Know them. And He was talking about false teachers who wanted them to follow their doctrine and leading. God has given us His Word and His Spirit that we might be discerning, particularly in who we partner with, yoke ourselves together with, and those to whom we follow. Besides, if someone may not truly be saved, then it is our responsibility to pray for them and warn them lovingly. For their salvation is the most important thing about them. And let's turn to one more passage, if you would, before we close. James chapter 2. James chapter 2. We're going to read verses 14 through 23. James chapter 2, verses 14 through 23. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? Look, if you would, again, verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? You say, oh, I care about you, brother. I love you with all my heart. I hope you find some. That didn't help them, did it? Even so, faith but hath not works is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works. I will show thee my faith by my works. We'll be back to that verse in just a moment. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect, or fulfilled? The Scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Look, if you would, back up at verse 18. Yea, man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, I will show thee my faith, what? By my works. James isn't saying that you're saved by works. He's saying you're saved by faith, but he's saying that you're saved by a faith that produces what? Works. You can't show me your faith without your works. Now, God knows your heart, but you can't show me your faith without your works. Nor can I show you my faith without my works. I can say it all day long. I'm always reminded of Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What's the word commendeth mean? It means He demonstrated. God doesn't just say, I love you. God showed it. He demonstrated it by sending His Son to die for you. For God so loved the world that He what? Gave His only begotten Son. If our faith is in Christ and if we truly love Him, there will be what? There'll be evidence that others can see. And that's the only way they'll know is by what they see. Our faith should produce works. If we say that you believe in Christ and have put your faith in Him and His Word, then your action should get evidence to that. If it doesn't, then something is terribly amiss, and you should do as 2 Peter 1:10 says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Don't take it for granted. There should be ample evidence in your life of Christ's presence and genuine faith. It should be there. Now, I'm not saved up here today and know it because of all the good works I do. I'm saved up here today and know it because Christ died for me and I have received His gift of eternal life through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. And God always keeps His what?
Word.
Always keeps His Word, and He always keeps His promises. Sometimes my works may indicate it, and sometimes my works come up very short. However, if there are no works, if what you say and what you do don't match up, then there's something missing. If you say there's a sign that says the road is out ahead to stop, and I believe it, then why are you driving down the road at 100 miles an hour past the sign? Sad to say, there's a lot of people like that. James 1:22, if you look over the page before, it says there, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. A glass means a mirror. Someone who knows things but doesn't act on them is like somebody who gets up in the morning, looks in the mirror, and sees how what a mess they are and does nothing about it. You see, there's a problem there. There's a disconnect. And if we say we believe all these things, but they don't have a bearing on what we do, then do you really believe those things? Maybe you're here today and you say, I'm a Christian, I believe in God, but your life doesn't match up. You're not serving God. You're not really all that concerned about what God wants for your life and bringing Him glory. They don't match up. There's a problem. You may be deceiving your own self. You better make sure. And you may be here today, Christian. You may know that you have eternal life. And there may be fruit, but there may be some fruit in your life that doesn't fit either. And you say, yes, I believe and trust in God. I know that He's going to lead me. I know that His Word is right. I know that if I do these things, that He'll bless me. But you're not doing them. Well, there's a disconnect in your life too. You say, hey, I'm a good Christian because I know all these things. Maybe you're not as close to God as you think if what you say you know, you're not actually doing. You say, well, I know that God has told us to go into the world and preach the gospel, proclaim the Word of God. Are you doing it? To meditate upon God's Word day and night, are you doing it? To forgive your neighbor, are you doing it? If you really trust God and His Word, as you grow in your faith, you'll do it. And this message isn't just for those that might not be saved. It's also for those of us who are. None of us are by any means perfect this side of heaven, but it's God's desire that we sin not. Confess it when we do, and do all to bring glory to His name. To live out our faith and salvation every day with joy and hope and love. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your Word, the opportunity to look into it today, and the place that good works fit in the lives of Your people. Lord, we thank You for the fruit that You produce in our lives by Your Spirit that declares to those around us that we are the children of God. Lord, we pray if there's one here today that's unsure that they'd come as we give this hymn of invitation that they might make sure of their salvation in Jesus Christ. And we pray, Lord, for Your people. Lord, as we struggle with different areas of our life, that we will learn to trust and obey, that we might live more every day to the praise and glory of the One who has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light, who are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, that You have before ordained, chosen that we should walk in them. Help us to look for them, to know them, and to follow You today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.